Holds Barred Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being here with us tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. We almost didn't have a show today because there just was a lack of material, lack of things to cover and get into with you tonight. So I dug around as long as I could. Most of this news and stuff is just trite. You know, sometimes you come back and I don't know what it is about technology. You don't use it a little bit over the weekend or something. It gets all wonky and weird on you here. Let me see. Yeah, that's better. Roll a little highs off there. Add a little to it. Yeah. I don't know what the deal with that is. I think gremlins come in here and play with a mixer when I'm asleep on the weekends or something. I don't know what's going on, but how you doing out there tonight? Welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm Josh Reeves. It is the first broadcast of October for us, October 3rd, 2011, into October 4th, 2011 with you here tonight live on the broadcast. We're going to be getting into some news and information that we have to get into tonight. There's not the today. There was just really Hank did it. Yeah. Well, no, he's currently occupying a chair in the kitchen. He likes to roam around, have different spots to sit in. It's like the spot of the moment. It's pretty funny. The cat did not do it this time. Fortunately, the cat has sabotaged broadcasts before, by the way. Hosed whole archives, unplugged drives from the wall, and all kinds of crazy stuff. The dog has hosed a broadcast before, chewed the fiber optic cable on our 3-year anniversary day. I shit you not. As Manhydra's been, yeah, Shitango. Yeah, our chat room's been doing weird, wonky shit over the past few days. People emailing me, I can't get your chat room to work. I'm like, man, it ain't my chat room. I just rent the motherfucker for free from Chitango. Very little control over that thing. I always tell people to use it at your own risk. Emails, we've got emails to get in to tonight as well. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com, and you can find the links to listen live or listen to the stream anytime, and you can hear rebroadcast shows and other things we play here on the network. You can also find all of our archive shows up there at theglobalreality.com. My documentary films, CDs from my band The Demi Gods are up there as well. All kinds of stuff, theglobalreality.com. If you want to send an email into the show tonight, or anytime, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Blowing through time here. Hard to believe we're already in October of 2011. Isn't it? I mean, my goodness. Whew. This year's blown by, and it's been a wild and insane year, and as we continue to move up and up and up and up in time into the future, spinning faster, and things are accelerating all over the place. And so we do our best here to try and document a little piece of that and give people at least another perspective and another viewpoint on this stuff. I got to tell you, it's been amazing lately, the emails. And we do have emails tonight. That's become a huge part of the show for us. And it's just really a testament, too, to how many listeners we really have and how many listeners are all over the planet. I mean, I'm getting emails from people that have been listening for 2 or 3 years, you know, but I'm just now really hearing from them. And that's awesome. You know, I mean, you guys, if you think about how many emails we cover a night here on the show, and how many, some of them are the same people every night, and that's fine. And there's some of them, you know, most of them aren't. Every night, you know, we see a lot of similar names. I've seen a lot of, you know, people that have the same name for some weird reason, but there'll be, you know, different people. But just the sheer amount of things people are saying, I mean, I'm getting so many emails from people saying I woke them up to the deeper elements of the whole, you know, the whole thing, the whole enchilada. That's amazing to me because that's been my goal. And to see that I've achieved that goal in even just a small way is what warrants me being here and continuing to do this. And warrants those of you out there who support us and donate and keep us going every month, thank you. This is what I'm trying to prove to you here. For those of you who do support us and do keep us going every month, I mean, that we are having an effect. Unbelievably. I get emails every day now, 5, 10, 15, 20 emails. You woke me up to the deeper elements of this. You woke me up to Jones. You woke me up to the CMP, the Jesuits, the Anunnaki, whatever it may be, you know. And I never had that, you know, for the most part, in all the times that I've been doing this until recently. But recently, it's been happening almost all the time. And, you know, it's that's the whole thing with this is, you know, you just got to stay at it. You just have to continue. You can't stop. You just, you know, in whatever small way you can do it, and I definitely do it in a small way with the best usage of the resources that I can get my hands on. And with the help of some of our listeners and supporters out there, we're going to hopefully be able to continue doing that. We have gotten some help on that front a little bit, and we're getting close to being able to get a new computer soon, so that's going to be awesome. So this, you know, this all to me is really happening at a great time. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to have the attitude to ramp this up, and as we talked about with an email from Scott last week, changing some things around, doing some things a little differently. I wouldn't have wanted to do that and hadn't wanted to do that before, really, and was kind of doing, as he termed it, a different model, because we weren't getting that kind of a response from things. But now that I've been here for 4 years, and now the information is accelerating and rising, people's awareness and understanding of it, you know, it takes a while. I was realistic when I put out Secret Rite Volume 1 because, you know, I knew that it was going to take probably 10 years for people to catch up with that information. And it has happened in a small way, a lot more than it had. I'd expected more, but it's a slow thing. But see, now, you know, even right here on the heels of having Volume 2 done and out, right here on the heels of that, we're starting to see more people waking up to it, to all aspects of that. And like I said, that was my goal for this and doing this and starting this show before I even knew about the CMP stuff. I mean, that moment just still blows my mind every time I think about it. Just the whole coincidental nature of it, you know. It was one of those things where in my gut, I knew there was something wrong with the whole truth movement thing. And Alex Jones, I knew there was, but I just didn't have any information to prove it. And boom, You know, it's your intention attracts things to you. And I think because my intention from day one of getting involved in this stuff has been, number one, finding out the real story. Number one, finding out the real truth, the whole truth. And not being afraid where that might take me. And I think the moment that I said, okay, you know, I'm aware this is going to take me some places I probably don't want to go, into some things I probably wish I didn't know. And of course it has, it did, and it has. But, you know, when you surrender that and you kind of say to the universe and say to yourself, look, you know, I'm just not going to be in fear of any of this anymore. I'm not going to be in fear of the unknown. I'm not going to be in fear of the abyss. And I'm just going to say, hey, you know, all right, bring it on. Boom. There it is. Well, that's what happened to me with this, the whole Council for National Policy thing, which led me farther into the Jesuit thing. It's like, it's just amazing that every piece of information now that we found that ties into the higher elements of this power structure have been topics that at one time or another were said to be either taboo, disinformation, or a distraction by Alex Jones and others in the mainstream of the Truth and Patriot movement. Fact. That's an absolute fact. Because I used to bring some of this stuff up, and that's what people would always say, and I'd hear Alex Jones say that on his show. Oh, folks, don't talk about the aliens, folks. That's a distraction. Talk about the bankers. Talk about what Dinecorn Halliburton are doing running child sex slave rings. It was in the Chicago Tribune, folks. Worry about that. Don't worry about what the Anunnaki's doing 5,000 years ago, messing with your DNA. Doesn't matter, folks. You know, and people, don't talk about reptilians. Oh, God. Here comes the turd in the punch bowl again.
Suck Satan's cock.
Oh, God. Here comes Satan again. Jesus Christ. The beast is upon us, folks. All right, Ted's got a deal coming up for you next. Stay with us. Oh, man. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, I mean, that's the whole thing, is all that stuff. You know, everything that we've been told is, that's a distraction. That's this, that's this other. Well, it ties into the fact that's what these priest class ass covering ass clowns. That's why they say this stuff is, don't talk about that. That's a distraction. That's why. Because the deeper elements get into who really controls things, and who really controls things are the people who are the bosses for people like Alex Jones and others in mass media, the underground media, and whatever else. I mean, this stuff's been going on for the longest time. It started with the John Birch Society. That's where this stuff, the epicenter of this stuff was. And when you understand how the John Birch Society spawned the so-called, anti-New World Order movement, you will start to understand how it also spawned Alex Jones. And, of course, with all the heads of the John Birch Society all being Jesuit trained, that's officially admitted, by the way. It's not speculation or hearsay. The Jones clones always want to try and explain that one and just kind of brush that one by the side. It's a fact. The guy has Jesuit connections out the wazoo. Anyway, let's see what kind of emails we have here tonight. Not a lot of news. We're also going to get into Tablet 3 of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth for you here tonight. Also want to thank all of our people out there, not only the people who donate and everything, as I thanked earlier, but on the people who make the YouTube videos, Illuminated Scam. There was one, there's a few now. It's unbelievable. There are three or four different people. And that's fine. I don't care if there's 10, 20, 100, but that's great. I mean, I was surprised at one. Four, that's amazing. But we've got, I don't think, three or four different people now who are making their own videos and posting them on YouTube with clips taken from my show. And, of course, telling people, that, you know, where they're getting it from and everything, like they should. They're putting my name on there. These fucking videos are getting like 17,000 views a piece, 12,000. Well, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. I'm going, God damn. Some of these guys are getting more hits off my videos on their channel than I get on my videos on my own channel. I'm not kidding you. That's amazing. And, you know, that's why I thank those people and why I appreciate anybody that wants to do that kind of thing, because that's another piece of evidence right there that sometimes what you can do with my material can surpass what I can do with my own material that I produce. You know, like somebody like Scott last week in the email, he said, you know, didn't want it to be a donator or supporter when it came to, you know, the monthly operating costs or anything, but wanted to help out with just the capital cost for buying equipment and stuff. That's, you know, taking a role. And that's amazing that there are people out there who are taking the role of, you know, using their viewership and the people who obviously think that they put out good material on their YouTube channels and they're getting a lot of subscriptions to use their own vehicle as a platform to get my info out to other people, man. That's fucking amazing. Illuminate Scam, he's one that does the Everyday Archives. He's reaching tons more listeners from all over the place, putting up the show every day, right? You know, pretty not too long after the archives posted every day. I mean, within, you know, a few hours, about the amount of time it takes him to pull it down, encode it, re-up it to YouTube, wait for YouTube to re-encode it and then allow it to be posted. There's one called 1776 is back. He's posted a lot of the reading stuff, Lost Book and Key, things like that. Reptilian Global Bank, I think, is another one. And I saw some of his stuff. He had made a few that I saw today that I had never seen, and I was like fucking blown away by it. Reptilian Global Bank, you're the shit, man. Keep up what you're doing. I appreciate it so much, man. I know it's a thankless job doing this stuff. Believe me, we don't all get the thanks we deserve sometimes, but I definitely want to give a shout out to those guys making those videos and my stuff, put it on YouTube. You guys are heroes, man. That's the shit. He's got one, Alex Jones, Freemasonic Bloodline Connection Exposed. Man, that motherfucker made me piss myself. He's probably going to cut that out of me saying that and put it in a video. Reptilian Global Bank makes Josh Reeves piss himself. He's probably going to cut this out and put it in a video now, but go ahead, man. Do whatever you want to do. But no, he made one called Alex Jones, Freemasonic Bloodline Connection Exposed. And I was, you know, it was just, you know, about a minute and 3 seconds or something of audio for me of the show talking about that. And the info is going to be in Super Bowl Volume 2. But I kept seeing him. There was this video in there. And I wasn't really paying much attention to notice what it was at first. And I kept seeing this video back up and repeat over and over again. And towards the end, I'm like, what the fuck is that? And about the fourth time it repeated, I noticed that he had the video looping in there of Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura kayaking down the fucking, you know, Canadian River or whatever the fuck it was, kayaking down the river right into the back of the Bohemian Grove. Fox, we're taking into the Grove. Me and Jesse are kayaking into the back door. No pun intended there, folks. We're hopefully not going to get anything put in the back door while we're here, but, you know, I'm prepared for anything. I'll do anything to fight those New World Order bastards. I'll even take it in the back door from David Rockefeller. You heard it here, folks. But I was just laughing because he's just looped. And it looked like Jones had on a fucking life jacket, like a life preserver thing. There's about 18 sizes too small, like he had put on a kid's. So it just like went up over the top of his shoulders and a little bit over his moobs a little bit, but not much. I mean, if his big ass would have fucking went in there. If he would have went in, dude, he would have sank like a rock. That thing barely even covered it. But anyway, that was hilarious. And he made another one called Ark of the Covenant Hidden on the Moon. Ark of the Covenant Hidden on the Moon and Temple of Hathor, Ancient Reptilians, Josh Reeves. So, Reptilian, let me make sure I get this guy's name, Reptilian Global Bank. That's the guy's name on YouTube. So thanks to him for making the videos and everybody out there that makes the videos and putting them out. You guys are helping out the cause, getting out to more people. And that's definitely much appreciated. So thanks so much to everybody out there. All right, let's see what we have here for news tonight. Here's one from our friend, the Lurkin Granny. She says, Josh, I listened to your reading of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. You mentioned the men of Chem were alchemists. Well, that's what it said in the text. I mean, it wasn't me just throwing that in there. That's what it said, actually, in the text I was reading from. Yes, they were, but the name Chem is the ancient name for Egypt, the land of the blacks, also called Kemet. This land also included the land of Nubia. Okay, well, thanks for that info. Yeah, I was just actually reading. That wasn't my added commentary. That was just something that was already there on the text I was reading from. So the text I was reading from was a translation, and I had some stuff added in their notes and stuff. So I wanted to be thorough with that. Let me see what else we have. Let's see. It's from Emily. She says, hi, Josh, So I found out about your broadcast through 6 degrees of internet separation. I visited a Fedbook fan page of Bill Cooper where Nick Sparrow had left some interesting things on that wall, I think it was. So I started following Sparrow's Fedbook where he hypes your broadcast. Good deal. I love it. Take that in the scrotum social networking. Yeah, so thanks to Nick there for bringing us yet another fan. The other night, you were talking about everyone having their certain moment when they see Alex Jones as a spook. Well, for me, it was hearing him diss Bill Cooper and deny Greer as JFK's killer on top of lots of little narcissistic goofs during his broadcast. But Bill Cooper? Who can diss Bill Cooper and why? Jonesy done blown his cover with that one, among others. I'm a Christian, and your program seems secular in a good way, and I love it, regardless of religion. And all the anti-Jesuits of this world really need to stick together. Despite any other differences we may have, I only have a couple of dollars left in my bank account, and I wanted to make a tiny contribution. Maybe a contribution of only a few dollars is like insulting the waitress with pennies, but if all your listeners did it, would it not add up? That's true. I tried donating via PayPal. Couldn't. I don't have a checkbook. So I'll get at you next month. Keep the fire burning. Emily. Thank you, Emily. Appreciate that. Glad to have another new listener brought in to the fire. Let's see. Oh, yowza. This is going to be an interesting one here. Okay, so when I raise my voice like this, that means that I'm reading something that's capitalized, okay? Yeah, it's one of those. Hi, please give me a minute. My papa was high Freemason. I can tell you they are very evil. See, all this New Age stuff about Christians and mushrooms is a different set, just like today there are many. Me, I don't go to church. Jesus Christ is real, and he loves all of us. Gen 1:1-2, there was a world perfect and Satan worked for God. Till one day he sat at the mercy seat and Father cast him down and killed on the earth. We were all spirits during this time. One soul, two bodies. Mithra is satanic. They used crosses and killed babies, a very old evil way. Set and all the Egypt religions are nothing more than Satan worship. Oh, my Lord. Satan loves to copy Jesus Christ. And now in his second age, flesh, he fools many. Oh, man. You found my show, how? They think they have found truth, and it's a lie. Research the red cap. Jesuits are very evil, and they formed Freemasonry to let them do their dirty work. You are really helping the Jesuits by worshiping Egypt religions. Do I worship Egypt religions? You're talking about me, or are you just saying in general? I don't worship any Egypt religions. But the fact of the matter is, these symbols and these, depictions have power from something. And the fact of the matter is, because the majority of people who know how to use those symbols and power are the people that are running the show and using these things for evil. I do believe that it is proper and should be practiced. That if you want, if you don't have to, but if you want to, I encourage it. I'm not going to tell you not to. I'm not going to tell you, you know, you're a bad person if you don't either. But, you know, if you want to use, their symbols to make them, you know, to reclaim them and to use them for positive energy back against them, I say go for that. And if you're going to tell me that that's, you know, what they, that's the devil's way or that's not Christian, then you know what? So be it, man. But these guys that we're fighting, they ain't Christian either. So where does that leave us? Our one of our main objectives, in my mind, should be learning the nature and the meanings and the power of these sacred symbols and, totems and artifacts and whatever they may be. Because whether you know it or not, you're hammered with this stuff every day. I mean, you got to be pretty much, the Amish are probably the only people that aren't hammered with this stuff every day. And even they'd get some, but it's in everything. It's in places you don't even know that it is. It's in the backs of in the back of commercials. You know, you're watching a commercial of a car driving down the road and as the sun's going down. It's, fast motion and the sun's going down. The stars are coming out and, it's the new Ford, whatever it is. Jeep Cherokee. Our new transsexual car for the 21st century metrosexual age. And, it's going down the road and the stars start coming out. And then, they show the car and it's becoming night. And, your average person just watches that and thinks there's the sky and there's the stars, whatever. But then, you take a close look at that and you go, oh, wow, there's, it just happened to land right on, Canis Major and right on Sirius, something like that. That's there every day. So we have one of two choices. We can continue to be victims of this bastardization of sacred knowledge and sacred teachings. We can continue to be willful victims to this and pray to our priest class created deities to save us and give us strength and hope and have faith that we get that from our priest class created deity. Or we can take this energy that's being used for a negative purpose and turn it back around on the controllers and use it for good. Now, I've studied religion for almost 15 years, something I got into even before I was into conspiracy stuff. And I'll tell you this. If any of these so-called deities want to send me to hellfire and damnation for that, for trying to use the positive to fix the negative, because it doesn't fall under the law of what Jeebus or Muhammad or whoever wants, you know what? They're a false god in my eye anyway. Because if your intention is only to heal and to create and to put positive good things into the world, but yet some deity or some god would smite you for that, you know what? Who needs them? But I seriously have concerns for people like this person here who sent me this email. That's why I know it's very easy for me to get up here and make fun of this person right now. I'm trying to make fun of this person. I'm being fucking deadly serious right now because this bothers the shit out of me. I'm really super glad you found my show. Thank you for listening. I hope you continue, but I'm not going to sit here and beat around the bush with you Christians. My thing here is my policy. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But these major world religions are controlled in whole by a small group of priests that is allowed access to this knowledge generationally, passed down generationally through the years. And with the restriction of added context to these stories and alleged metaphors and ancient writings and tablets and teachings, by the restriction of the key elements of that, they have retained global power over all of us and made us into slaves. I am not going to play ball with people that try to push this custodial religion garbage on me in regards to my information. Why? Because I'm so far past it. If you can't see it for what it is at that point, that's your bad, not mine. And I hope you wish nothing but the best for you, but you know, I can't apologize because I've evolved and actually done my homework and figured out what's really going on with this stuff. If you haven't been listening very long, please go hit up YouTube, some of the gentlemen that I mentioned earlier, and go through and find my William Bramley Gods of Eden, the reading I did of that. And it'll take you, you know, it'll take you, you know, a lot of hours to go through it all. But you know what? What's 20 or 30 hours listening to a radio broadcast, considering the time that you've spent driving to and from work every day? Think about the moments of your life that you've wasted just driving to and from your job every day, or the moments you've wasted sitting in front of the goddamn television. If you really want the truth, if you really want answers, the amount of hours you put into this, my God, the motherfucking hours I put into this shit, you wouldn't even believe. It's retarded. But if you want it, you don't even question it. So that's my thing. You know, if you really want it, if you really want to find out what I think about that Christian stuff, go back, listen through reading William Bramley's The Gods of Eden. There's some key info in there for you. But I'm going to finish this person's email because I'll at least give them that respect. Research the Red Cap. Jesuits are very evil and they form Freemasonry to let them do their dirty work. You really are helping Jesuits by worshiping Egypt and dark religions. Genesis 1:28, replenish the earth. See here before, brother, I know there are so many false Christians, but not all are. Also, Gen 3:22, skull and bones take this as their gods. No, we know now right from wrong. Researcher, Hebrews, Nazarenes, Ebonites, you have been hurt by fake Christians, I can tell. I've never been hurt by fake Christians. You got me all wrong. No, I've never been hurt by fake Christians. Maybe I'm just the goddamn antichrist. Maybe that's it. You know? Maybe that's why everybody's acting like they're, you know, kind of feel like I've been fucking Damien my whole life or something. You know, I got red hair, so I'm kind of, you know, I don't know. It's weird. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I am the goddamn antichrist.
Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. You're listening to the Global Reality with Josh Reeves. I'm the motherfucking antichrist now, bitch. Yeah. Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and do the show like this now. Yeah, we got a lot of news we're going to get into for you tonight. It's going to be hot. You know what I'm saying? All right. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm the Dark Lord, pretty much. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. You know, I should have known I have red hair and have tattoos. And, you know, yeah, I'm the Dark Lord, baby. Gotta embrace that shit. Yeah!
But no, no, I haven't heard by fake Christians. But I have, I don't know why, I'm talking about from like age 5, dude. I remember going, I was in first grade, 5 or 6. I was in first grade. It was really my only experience in a church other than, you know, being weddings, funerals, whatever. Was already in some of those at a very early age. We're at those probably at all ages of our lives. But I just remember going to, you know, church with a next door neighbor friend or something when I was like six. And I can remember going in there and just knowing, I just remember knowing it was bullshit. Call it past life. I don't know. Past life intuition. I don't know what it was, but I just knew. I've always known that stuff was bullshit. And, you know, I don't understand what you mean by fake Christians versus real Christians. You're following a custodial religion that was set up as a means of control and a means of lying to you about the real reality of gods and demons and angels and entities and extraterrestrials and all of this stuff. That's a fact. There's no way you can deny that. This is just willful ignorance. So there's no such thing, but you know, Alex Jones is the same thing. Well, those are the fake right-wing Christians over there. Oh, excuse me? I mean, that's just the most retarded thing I've ever heard in my life. But by virtue of the fact you're following something that's fake and phony in the first place, it makes them all fake and phony, they're following, whether or not you want to, you know, they fit into your category or not. He says, I have a lot of tats, smoke a pack a day, and used to do loads of meth. 7 years ago, God helped me kick the dope. No offense. I'm really not trying to be rude here, but boy, that explains it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude, but that really... Now I get it. Now I get this email. You sure you kicked it, buddy? Sure you didn't find a little left in a light bulb from a few years ago or anything? All right. I don't know. It was weird. Seriously, the first thing that was in my head when I was reading this email was, God damn, somebody's on the dope. Somebody's on the dope. you heard what I was, as I mean, those emphasis on those words I was reading to you earlier was, you know, that was verbatim, by the way. That was not me adding that. That was how that came. You have great insight, but your language hurts me. All the F-bombs. Oh, here we go. I should have known. Boy, I love these Christians. Judge not, lest ye be judged and all that. They don't make a fuck to them. It's just words. Yeah. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And then they go judge everybody else. There's no dear, can't judge. Burp, derp. Yeah. Yeah, so as usual, you know, I'm the ex-meth head who found Jesus, and I want you to quit cussing. That's what we got here. Oh, man. But he says that I'm letting you know something that very few so-called pastors know. There are three earth ages and one earth three ages. This world is millions of years old. Satan loves to trick us all. Please research this. I owe you because of your documentary. Woke me up. Thanks for your time, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the email, buddy. Court Lindahl, Court Lindahl has sent me a few emails. Geomagnetic Information Systems. Look that guy up. He's done some fantastic work. He sent me quite a few emails since I was on Red Ice. He's been on Red Ice a few times. He sent me an email that says, I've just blogged an article at survivalcell.blogspot.com with proof that Thomas Jefferson may have visited René Le Château in 1786. Check it out. It involves an underground complex of tunnels and chambers. Hang in there, dude. I've seen some of your posts. Don't get discouraged, Court. Thank you, Court. And yeah, I'm gonna, as soon as we get the new computer situation sussed out and are able to have guests on and stuff again. I'm going to get Cortland all on the show. But definitely check out his work. Check, Google him on YouTube as well. Cortlindahl, I believe is how you spell his name. So definitely check out his information. Hopefully we'll have Cort on. So thank you so much. It's good to hear from a fellow researcher and somebody out there that's doing the work. Cort's work, he does a lot of stuff on geomantic information. He's, man, he's done some crazy stuff. He's connected like all of these, basically all the ancient megalithic signs, you know, that we already know all connect together, but they also can all point at directly at the Vatican, but they never seem to tell you that in some of these documentaries, stuff like that. He said that in one email that he sent me that the majority of the truth movement and research community ignores his work and won't have him on or talk to him because, well, obviously, I guess, you know, like for that reason, well, he heard me on Red Eyes talking about, you know, Jones and the Jesuit connections and the connection to the Vatican and the CMP and all that stuff. And it sort of sent off a light bulb in his head where he said, oh, well, you know, if that's true what you're saying about the CMP and Jones and all this, then that would explain why, you know, those people don't want to have anything to do with my information and don't want to have me on as a guest and don't want to talk about the things that I'm finding because I have all this proof and all this information that connects all these things that these ancient megalithic signs that point directly at the Vatican. So definitely check Cort Lindahl out, and I'll definitely get him on the show for you here as soon as it is possible for me to do so. Let's see what else we have tonight. Oh, what do we got next? This is from Damian Jones. Damian says, what's cracking, Mr. Reeves? I am a listener from the DMV area. First off, I just want to say I love the show. Congratulations on the success. The government sucks Satan's cock fucking vaginas. First listened to the show during the read of the Gods of Eden, which opened my eyes. Not to say they weren't, but I needed the extra push to wake up, being from the area where this cocksucking government operates. I knew from a very early age that they were brainwashing humans and deceiving masses of the population through media, bad education in certain areas, secrets, unhuman events, drugs, guns, etc., and so forth. I grew up watching peers and family fall victim to these cocksuckers, and it sucks. I've been called crazy and an outcast, lost many relationships because people are scared of these fucks and refuse to listen, or they know but do nothing. And this Obama character does nothing to improve anything. Let only the surrounding areas of the White House. Well, I guess except only the surrounding areas of the White House. Also, I find it strange that D.C. has the highest disease rate, but it's the nation's capital, which proves they are all about reducing the population, starting with locals, huh? These fucks, when you had William Henry on the show discussing Stargates and the Norway spiral, he spoke on how the U.S. Capitol was a temple and had a painting of the apotheosis of George Washington's ascension from man to God man in the dome. So I went down there to check it out. Well, good for you. Good for you, man. That's awesome. And I was like, fuck! Which made me pay attention to all the symbolism, buildings, and the whole nine on how Washington, D.C. was constructed. And there's no question that something fishy is coming down the creek. I even saw that. D.C. is the new Jerusalem. That's awesome, man. Good for you. I'm glad you went and did that, Damien. I'm glad you went out and, you know, that's awesome. I mean, you know, that you kind of had that awakening, went out and said, you know what, I'm going to go check this shit out myself, you know. And you go and look and you're walking around the stuff and you're like, oh, my God, you know, I've never been to D.C., but I like to go just for that reason to check all that stuff out, just, you know. Just to see it, because we know it's there, we know what it's there for, and we know what they're doing with it, but, you know, it is still a sight to behold, because once you have the eyes to see it for what it is, it's you're just like, oh my God, you know, it's so much bigger than most people even imagine. But other than me showing love to the show, I also wanted to have you read Behold a Pale Horse, author William Cooper, and if not, do a read over it on the show. Also check out Secrets in Plain Sight. Wanted to comment on the Behold a Pale Horse is that he states World War III started back in the 1970s against the American people under silent warfare, and I wanted to get your take on that. Well, you know, I it'd be hard for me to argue that. I think the only thing that me or anybody else would say is that, you know, we just don't have any documentation that is indeed the truth, but we have, you know, circumstantial evidence to prove that indeed does appear to be the case. You know, it's those kind of things that they love to get us kind of entangled in because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, be able to say, well, World War III started back in the 70s, but again, how do you know? But, you know, have I seen an increase in warfare on the people since then? Yeah. I've seen it talked about in other areas of documentation too, Army War College and all that stuff. 1990s, man, 95, 96, I was reading Army War College stuff. They were talking about what's going on right now, 21st century warfare in cyberspace. Information warfare in cyberspace. That's where Alex Jones actually took his name from, was from that. And it described, you know, warfare, war being fought, countries being toppled and regimes coming to an end, virtually. And that's, you know, that's where they're pushing us to. As far as William Cooper goes, I got to say this about William Cooper. He's just like anybody else. The problem with William Cooper's info is that anybody who's a researcher changes their opinion about this stuff quite a bit all the time. You can't help but to if you're actually a researcher. That's how you know Alex Jones is a fraud, because his opinion on this stuff never changes. Never has, and I don't know, 14, 15 years of broadcasting, however long it's been. A real researcher constantly has their paradigm changed, constantly has what they believe shifting around and changing. I mean, it's just natural. But it only happens if you are indeed doing your own research and not just following someone else's dogma. I learn something new every single day. And if I don't, then what do? I go read something. I go start researching, because I'll guarantee you I will before long. That's how it's got to be. And so with William Cooper, I think that, and we, you know, it would have been almost 10 years since he was killed, set up and murdered in his front yard. We just don't know if Mr. Cooper would still look at things the same way he did that he would now that he did then, you know, because you are constantly changing what you think about this stuff, you know. So I think that you have to look at his information in the context of the time that it was produced. And I think that a lot of his information had a lot more importance and weight in the time in which it was produced, because there wasn't a lot of that being put out at that time. Now, he certainly wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But he did put out some great information. I definitely advise people to check it out. I'm not going to read Behold a Pale Horse on the Air, though, because that's, you know, I'm just not going to do that. But that's the whole thing with that, is you have to understand that, you know, when you hear him say something, or, you know, he may not still believe that today with the more information that we've had and we've come across since he died. I think he was heading towards talking about some of the ZMP stuff. In fact, he never mentioned the group by name, but he definitely talked about some of its constituents and Bo Greitz and, you know, some of these different people. But there's people are always up in arms about the whole Bill Cooper thing, and I think he's just like anybody else. You have to take the bits that you can that are useful and do your own research and go find them on yourself. I'll tell you this, I've played it a few times here. He did expose Aaron Russo as a total fraud on his show. Aaron Russo, who made America Freedom to Fascism. Oh, man. Absolutely slaughtered him live on air and caught him in a bold-faced lie and exposed him on air. That was, you know, so he was, and he was, of course, he's very famous and well-known for being one of the very early people to call out Alex Jones. And I think if Cooper was alive today, he'd be on my side. Honestly, I think he and I'd probably be friends, probably be doing broadcasts together. I never knew him or ever had a chance to listen to a show when he was alive. You know, it just wasn't available here where I live in Dallas. But yeah, I think he and I probably would have been friends. I think he and I probably would have, you know, done some stuff together because, you know, he was right there on the tip and of the iceberg of just about to, I think, find out some of the stuff I found out about, you know, the CMP and the rest of this. I'd be guaranteed he would have been a champion of that information, especially if it exposed the higher levels. But, you know, again, the problem comes when you start putting anybody up on a pedestal, me or anybody else, or Bill Cooper, anybody. Nobody's perfect. And just because he's dead doesn't make him any more perfect. You know, that's another thing. But again, take the bits and go research the stuff yourself. I've personally found flaws in Bill Cooper's research, in especially in terms of Christianity and the stuff he said about that and some of the stuff. Well, people always go back and forth between, you know, Bill Cooper and what's the other guy? Jordanius Maximus, Russell Pine, Jordan Maxwell. You know, who was right, Jordan Maxwell or Bill Cooper? Well, I say both of them were wrong. I mean, either one of them were right. One says it's all sun worship. The other says, you know, no, the pagans ripped off Christianity. And they're, you know, they're both arguing over two things that are both created by the custodial priest class overlords. You see, and that, again, that's exactly where they want you. They want you picking a side on whether or not Bill Cooper's right or Jordan Maxwell's right and who's right or wrong in this argument about, you know, it's all sun worship or no, the sun worshipers ripped off Christianity. No, Christianity ripped off the sun worshipers, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, never telling you there's this, you know, these high overlords, the Anunnaki, whatever they may be, who have set up all of these things to keep us confused and keep us controllable and keep us to be maintained as in some sort of slavery. They have to have people to rule over. Last question here, something about FEMA coffins. I'm not even going to fucking glorify that, dude. Come on. You hadn't learned by now that the whole FEMA coffin thing was debunked 17 ways to Sunday. They were coffin liners, and it had nothing to do with FEMA. Anyway, I'm not even gonna entertain that. Don't sip on the fear sauce. That's all I can say. By the way, speaking of fear sauce, Scott sent me an email, said, hey, just peering into the enemy's camp. I don't know if you know about this already, but per this YouTube clip, the big enchilada will be in downtown Dallas at the Federal Reserve Building on Friday, October 7th at 6 p.m. Oh, yeah, way to get there after nobody's in the building there, Jonesy. All the buildings in Dallas close at or clear out by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at the latest. He's going to get there at 6. Maybe he'll have his illegal bullhorn out there again. If I had the money, I'd go buy a bullhorn. The problem is I don't have a team. I don't have a posse. Nobody wants to go with me to do this, and I'm not going to go down here. I would. If I had a crew to go with me, a team to run cameras and, you know, run block, and you know, if I had 6 or 7 people that would go with me and have my back on this, I'd go do it. But wouldn't it be funny if I went and got a bullhorn and went and bullhorn Jonesy? Instead of bullhorning, you know, the empty Federal Reserve building, I just stand across the street and bullhorn Jonesy. Hey, Jonesy. Hey, you, motherfucker. Hey, Alex Jones. You over there. What about the CMP, motherfucker? What about the John Birch Society? What about your grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather, Anson Jones? What about him? Shit like that, you know? Oh, he'd piss himself. but just in case you want to put the new camera to use, you know, that's a problem, man, is I just don't have people that really want to go and do that. If I find some people that want to go do it, then fine. But, you know, I'm not going to go down there by myself and go, you know, yell shit at Jonesy and get it on camera and then have his goon squad, Jesuit goon squad, ascend on me, you know? Yeah, hey, Jonesy, they're closed. Oh, fuck, man. This is just too much. Here's one from Chris in Australia. Hi, Josh. I recently started working at a company that specializes in mind sight skills training in Western Australia. I was interested to note that the company has ex-military and Mormon management. With one of the company's rival firms being run by Blackwater, I decided to research further. The massive fracking operations underway here in Western Australia is also managed by ex-military. Why would the military be supervising the fracking? That's interesting. The Agenda 21 move to cut off the water aquifers and farmland here needs management that take orders, I suppose. The training courses sent out by government are further eliminating crucial thinking whilst burdening any small company with too much procedures to run profitably. Whilst having their trademark humanitarian guys, they are managing to get the mass of pond skaters here all excited about the potential jobs. We are, in fact, acting as our own Zonder-commando. Anyway, as you're aware, there seems to be no escaping this system, even here in Perth, the most remote city in the world. The new coaches here record every conversation that takes place. Should come in handy for setting up the next brainwash retard patsy they train up. Would love to hear you and Max Egan do a show. I'm sure you'd both break new ground. Keep up the great work, brother Chris. So thank you, Chris. Wow. That's an amazing report. That's an on-the-ground, in-the-shit report right there. Fuck. Take care of yourself, buddy. Don't let the fuckers find out or anything. You know, don't even think it's going to put you in any harm's way. We appreciate the info. You're brave for even doing that, you know. But, we don't have a choice anymore, man. I mean, if you see opportunities like that to gather info, you just have to do it. Because this stuff's going on right under our noses. And the fact of the matter is we just have a lack of intel when it comes to stuff like that. Because most of the time we find out about stuff like what he's talking about there, it's already happened and over with, you know. That's some pretty it's pretty good info. So thanks so much there to Chris for that. We're going to get into news here tonight on the broadcast. That's all the emails we have. If you have one you'd like to send in tonight, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's where you can send in your emails at tonight or anytime. We're going to take a break and come back here, but I've got one story here I want to segue into the break here with. Oh, this is hilarious. I saw this story today. They're saying, Hank Williams Jr. compares Obama to Hitler. And everywhere, all the news, Hank Williams Jr. calls Obama Hitler. And it's funny, when you go actually watch the video and read the transcript, he never called him Hitler ever once. What happened was, is that he exposed a pretty damning piece of information that exposes just how phony the left-right paradigm is and how it's just a scam and a ploy and a game that means nothing that they tell us has importance to divide and conquer us. Hank Jr. said, I saw Boehner, Speaker of the House Boehner, playing golf with Obama. To me, that's like Hitler playing golf with Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, first off, he said Boehner's name first and Obama's name second. So even if you were trying to make the analogy that he compared him to Hitler by saying, well, he said, that's like, you know, I saw Boehner playing golf with Obama. That's like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. Well, that wouldn't fit, you see. But what he said was when he let that out, right when he said, I saw Boehner playing golf with Obama, the guys at Fox, they started getting nervous as shit, man. Like, oh, shit. Like, that was not supposed to go out over air. You know, like, that was like some inside information stuff that nobody was supposed to know about, and Hank let it slip. So what did they do? They spun the story and have drawn all the attention and said, Hank Jr. said that Obama slurred Obama and called him Hitler. And ESPN has pulled his song from Monday Night Football, when that's not what he said at all. I'm not defending him. I think he's, you know, a neocon piece of shit, probably myself. He's put out some good music. I got much respect for all the Hank Williams 1, 2, and 3 out there. But fact of the matter is, I think that because they got real nervous when he said Boehner was playing golf with Obama. So they've spun this now and saying he compared Obama to Hitler. I mean, completely ridiculous bullshit. And what's funny about this didn't even happen on a quote-unquote liberal network. It happened on Fox News. You know, Fox News is slandering their own right-wingers now for making comments that show that the right-wingers are just as phony as the left-wingers. Unbelievable stuff, man. But my dad was a big Hank Williams junior, senior, and third fan. So we'll send this one out to my dad as well. And for Hank, we're going to take a break, come back, and get into more news tonight. This is the Global Reality. Stay with us.
Disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me and want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Over and over.
boots, pick out my best hat. Going to a place called the Old Briar Patch. Gonna get loose and I'm gonna have fun. Gonna go hunting, but I won't need a gun now. Well, the season is always open, and there ain't no limit, you see. And they can be more challenging than a Rocky Mountain sheep. I have hunted them four-legged deer, but the two-legged's a lot more fun. I'm gonna go hunting the night long, but I ain't taking no gun. Cause the kind of game I'm looking for is not that hard to snare. But they can be more dangerous than a big old grizzly bear. They got long paws, long legs, and the skin's already tan in the sun. I'm gonna go hunting tonight, Lord, but I ain't taking no gun.
Beautiful wildcats are the kind that are hard to track. Cause the John is a crawling with the other hunters, and the she-cats are doubling back. Now is the time for patience. Don't fire on the first one. Don't waste your bullets on a little bitty baby. Get a full-grown wah-wah-wah man.
Hey, the kind of game I'm talking about is not that hard to slam. But they can be more dangerous than a big old grizzly bear. They got long claws, long legs, and the skin's already tan in the sun. I'm gonna go hunting tonight, boys, but I ain't taking no gun. Yeah, I'm talking about hunting tonight, Lord, but no light, no gun.
Oh yeah, going poontang hunting tonight with Hank Jr. All right, that's for you, Dad. Love you, man. And back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you so much for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. I cram a lot of information, a lot of stuff here in the this part of the broadcast. So. Thanks for staying with us here tonight and being here for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. There at the website, you'll find the chip-in banner. That's for our monthly bills, there to pay, and expenses and everything else. And we're 100% listener supported here at the network. I do want to start bringing on some advertising, though. So if anybody out there has, you know, if you're a company out there and you, or you work for a company or you own a company or anything else, might be interested in putting a banner up for a fee or having me plug your, you know, your company a couple times here tonight on the show, whatever. Definitely shoot me an email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Let's work something out. And I'm not going to sell Jew gold. I'm not going to, I mean, I don't care. I don't really care what company it is, but I'm not going to resort to the usual. What I'm trying to say is I'm not going to resort to the usual, you know, stuff you see on a lot of these websites, things like that. I would never do that. But right now, it's just we with the listener supported model. I'm glad we're actually getting some help on the equipment now. That's great. That's super. But just the, you know, the operating costs and stuff every month, and you know, everything price goes up every month. So that's you know, our support steadily has gone that we've needed has steadily gone up over the months. And that's just part of it, but that's all thanks to you, the listener out there, and thanks to everybody who has supported us up to this point. And please do so. We did get the bills paid last week, so thanks so much to everybody to help us meet our goal in September, and everybody who donated for the 4-year anniversary fundraiser. It's exciting times, and I'm glad to be here with all of you, and I'm glad you're all here with me. And I'm just blown away how many of you there are out there now. It's crazy. And, you know, a small portion of those people, Kenny, who listen to the show, who want to make a difference and you know, want to be informed, a very small portion of those are actually able to help us out financially. But if we have more of those come on, you know, many hands make light work. We also have a P.O. Box address there for people who absolutely can't use PayPal. That's our preferred way to receive donations. But please support us today, theglobalreality.com. Not a lot left after paying the bills for the month, but we are getting some help on the equipment front, so that'll be good. But please donate if you can. If you want to date, if anybody out there wants to donate other larger amounts that go towards helping the people that are helping us out get equipment, hey, that's great. You know, help those people out too. You can use the donate button there at the website for that. Let's get into our news tonight and get through that. And we're going to get into tablet 3 of the Emerald Tablets of Toph. We're here tonight on the broadcast. Freaky physics prove parallel universes exist. Well, first off, duh, but funny they're admitting to this now. Look past the details of a wonky discovery by a group of California scientists that a quantum state is now observable with the human eye and consider its implications. Time travel may be feasible. Doc Brown would be proud. The strange discovery by quantum physicists at the University of California, Santa Barbara, means that an object you can see in front of you may exist simultaneously in a parallel universe, a multi-state condition that has scientists theorizing that traveling through time may be much more than just the plaything of science fiction writers. And it's all because of a tiny bit of metal, a paddle the width of a human hair, an item that is incredibly small but still something you can see with the naked eye. UC Santa Barbara's Andrew Clayton cooled that paddle in a refrigerator, dimmed the lights, and under a special bell jar, sucked out all the air to eliminate vibrations. He then plucked it like a tuning fork and noticed that it moved and stood still at the same time. That sounds contradictory, and it's nearly impossible to understand if your last name isn't Einstein, but it actually happened. It's a freaky fact that's at the heart of quantum mechanics. To even try to understand it, you have to think really, really small, smaller than an atom. Electrons which circle the nucleus of an atom are swirling around in multiple states at the same time. They're hard to pin down. It's only when we measure the position of an electron that we force it to have a specific location. Cleland's breakthrough lies in taking that hard-to-grasp yet true fact about the atomic particle and applying it to something visible with the naked eye. What does it all mean? Let's say you're in Oklahoma visiting your aunt, but in another universe where your atomic particles just can't keep up, you're actually at home watching The Simpsons. That may sound far-fetched, but it's based on real science. When you observe something in one state, one theory is it split the universe into two parts. Cleveland told Fox News, trying to explain how there can be multiple universes and we can see only one of them. One of my listeners is really on to this and has sent me some stuff. You know who you are out there, MJ, about this. And he sent me this link to this radio show where these people were talking about these parallel worlds and how they were talking about how some of these famous stars that allegedly die have actually gone, you know, decided to go live their lives in these parallel worlds that are accessible. And I've known of this for quite some time, about 10 years, I've known of it. But I don't know what radio show this was from. It was a radio show, and they were talking about how, what was her name? Brittany Murphy started going to and visiting this parallel world, and different people access it in different ways and stuff like that. And that some of these people who've allegedly died, like Brittany Murphy and her boyfriend and others, have actually, Heath Ledger allegedly, have actually gone into this other parallel world and are living their lives there and have faked their own death. And there's some pretty compelling evidence, you know, points in the direction of that. I don't really know, have all the particulars on it, but I will say this, and I have, I never, sent a response back, just got busy to our listener, MJ, who had pointed that out to me. But I started, you know, thinking about this. I've known about this, was there for a while, and I started noticing that. And I want you to try this and see if you experience this, because I experienced it on my first try, and I've experienced it every time since then. Before you go to sleep at night, because I don't know about you, I don't know if your dreams are the same as mine, but my dreams have always been like, for lack of a better term, it always does seem to be a parallel world, like they're talking about here. You know, it really does. It really seems to be, you know, because it looks very much like our world, but it's always, in my dreams, it's always places, for the most part, that I've never been or seen or experienced or anything else. But, you know, the same rules apply, and it pretty much seems like our no more world. Well, I've noticed that if I tell myself before I go to sleep that I'm going to go in this world and I think about all the things I'm going to do in it, inevitably, once I go to sleep and dream, I actually do that. I actually do end up going into this world and can experience these things that I dreamed about before I went to sleep. And I've done this a whole lot over the past month or so, and it actually does work. Try it sometime. See if you have results. I think that there's something to it. I think that they're what they're saying here is kind of exposing that, is the fact that there are all multiple dimensions and universes happening around us all the time. But when we're unaware of their existence, we are unaware of the abilities to be able to access them, unless sometimes we access them on accident. But I think that's what our dreams are. This accessing of these other dimensions and these other worlds, you know. It says that, but this goes on and on and on. I'll drop a link to it in the chat room so you guys can read it yourself. It's very interesting because it does seem that they are starting to sort of try to ease people in to some of the things they're going to be disclosing in the not-too-distant future. You know, they're really trying to, I think, slowly introduce and slowly bring the public up to speed on things they've known about for quite some time, because, you know, the more and more that these technologies develop, the more and more that questions of where they came from arise, you know. That's the big thing. But let's see what else we have here tonight in the news. Give me a minute here. I got these articles spread out all over the place. Obama under fire over space plans. High-profile critics fear President Barack Obama's commercial overhaul of human spaceflight is going nowhere and could mark the end of a half a century of U.S. supremacy among the stars and the planets. And who's saying this? Neil Armstrong, Freemason. We'll have no American access to and return from low Earth orbit and the International Space Station for an unpredictable length of time in the future. Neil Armstrong, the first man to set foot on the moon, warned lawmakers. See, this probably ties in with what I've been telling you about, you know, this race to get to the moon so they can claim that whatever they want to get is there. Maybe that's the whole point of Barack Obama. Maybe it is true what they said about this guy. Maybe this, you know, not being born here. Maybe he was planted here, you know, to kill our space program so that Russia or China goes to the moon and gets the Ark of the Covenant first. I don't know. It does seem interesting to me that, you know, Neil Armstrong being involved in that Masonic ritual that I mentioned to claim the moon as the sovereign property of the Freemasons, and thus declaring it also as well the sovereign property of the Templars, because remember, the Templars had it originally. I mean, you know, that's to me, there's Neil Armstrong saying, you know, Obama's screwing this up. So it seems that the Freemasons and the original NASA moon astronauts are very concerned about this, you see. That's an interesting little article there. Wow, here's another one. This is one that all of you have to send. You always got that one person, you know, who you try to tell about Facebook and MySpace and all these, you know, social and Google Plus and all this stuff. There's always that one person that never wants to believe you. Well, a link I just dropped in the chat room. Grab that one, send it to that person. Internet companies such as Google, Twitter, and Facebook are increasingly co-opted for surveillance work as the information they gather proves irresistible to law enforcement agencies, web experts said this week. That's Reuters there. I mean, there they go, admitting they co-opted all of those Google, Twitter, and Facebook for surveillance work. Information they gather is irresistible to law enforcement agencies. Well, that's why they're ruining Facebook to get everybody to migrate over to Google Plus. Because again, Google Plus, they don't need your permission. They don't need a warrant. They don't need probable cause. Google is Echelon. Google is the NSA. And as soon as we all, I mean, we pretty much are, we all use Google searches. A lot of us have Gmail. A lot of people are going over to Google Plus. And, you know, just know that when you're using their products, all of your information is going into huge, huge storage bins, and it's being saved and stored indefinitely. Indefinitely. It used to be that they would roll this stuff off after a period of time. They don't anymore. They save everything. And only something that would save me everything like that would be some sort of huge, you know, a person can't crunch all that data. An AI supercomputer sure as fuck can. That's how we know that this huge information gathering operation that's going on is being done so for an artificial intelligence supercomputer and not just for public. Because it's the only thing that can take that kind of data in and make it useful for people. This is an interesting piece of symbolism here. And an interesting article nonetheless from the Financial Times of London, China or U.S., make your choice. The defining geopolitical drama of the next century will be the battle for power and influence between China and America. That emerging struggle is already posing awkward choices for Asian countries caught between the two global giants. And we know that's going on, and we're aware of that. And, you know, that's what all this new Eastern Bloc stuff is and all this phony, you know, moving us into new Cold War bullshit. But look at this picture that they used on this Financial Times of London picture there. It wouldn't let me image drop it. It just put a link. But open that up. It's an image of the dragon, China, fighting the eagle, the United States. Isn't that interesting symbology? Both of those are custodial symbols. Both have been used to represent the serpent race of the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki are depicted in Sumerian reliefs and carvings as birds, eagles, the Nephilim, you know, that is highly interesting, isn't it? We've talked about this idea of the custodial races, the Anunnaki, spreading out the different races and the different people and cultures across the planet, giving each one of their different Anunnaki's dominion over that area. And, you know, all of them have been fighting throughout the centuries, vying for total control. Man, it makes it hard to believe that that's just hogwash some ancient Sumerian decided to put down on a clay tablet, which was hard as hell, by the way, 5,000 years ago. It's hard to believe that's just some hogwash when you see a picture like that on a Financial Times of London article. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, it gets into the whole mess, China, U.S., blah, blah, blah. Look, they're going to, I mean, you want to know what's coming? They're going to turn us into a province of China. And yeah, there's going to be jobs. There's going to be American jobs are going to come back. But the problem is it's going to be Chinese conditions, Chinese pay. And if you don't like it, we'll grind you up and put you in the fucking hamburgers and feed you to the kids in the elementary schools. Pretty much where we're going. See what else we have here. Oh, well, here we go. Just as I was mentioning there, you know, the eagle versus the dragon. Russia's Putin says he wants to build a Eurasian Union. Yeah. Yeah, the new Eastern Bloc. It's all about the control of resources. And, I mean, there's just zero regulation over there, man. Whoever gets in on those Asian resources, what they're going to do is they're going to start their own Eastern Bloc. They're going to access all of those resources over in the Middle East, and they're going to cut out the Western world, and they're going to become basically go on their own. And that's not going to be liked by the powers that be one bit, that's for sure. The due process of free assassinations of U.S. citizens is now a reality. It was first reported in January of last year that the Obama administration had compiled a hit list of American citizens whom the president had ordered assassinated without any due process. And one of those Americans was Anwar al-Awlaki. No effort was made to indict him for any crimes, despite a report last October that the Obama administration was considering indicting him, despite substantial doubt among Yemen experts about whether he even had any operational role in al-Qaeda. No evidence, as opposed to unverified government accusations, was presented of his guilt. When Awlaki's father sought a court order barring Obama from killing his son, the Department of Justice argued, among other things, that such decisions were state secrets and thus beyond the scrutiny of the courts. So they have an assassination list, I guess, now. They won't tell you if you're honored or not. They just kill you, and then, by the way, you're on the list. State secrets and beyond the scrutiny of the courts. Wow. He was simply ordered killed by the president, his judge, jury, and executioner. When Awlaki's inclusion on President Obama's hit list was confirmed, the New York Times noted that it is extremely rare, if not unprecedented, for an American to be approved for a targeted killing. Well, it was unprecedented until now. Now it's happened, so, you know. But we don't even know that any of that's real, to be honest with you. We don't even know that guy really existed. We don't even know if they really killed this guy. This could be some picture, some actor they're telling. It's just a piece on a chessboard to these guys, you know. This could all be to further instill that chill factor. Ooh, they can kill you for no reason. They can't tell you. They can get away with it. Ooh. You know, eventually somebody somewhere in some country would have a problem with that. And the fact that nobody does tells you that it's all just bullshit. And it's another part of it to get you scared. Oh, and Jonesy will use it as ammo. Fox, hang around people up and kill them for no reason, folks. Obama's probably got me on his hit list, folks. I won't cry. New electromagnetic catapult hurls war planes into the sky. They have a fucking railgun type thing now that shoots airplanes. It works on the same principle as the railgun, except it fires, it just rockets these airplanes out fast as shit. The electromagnetic catapult is lighter, less complex, and faster than steam catapults, an old technology that rides on building up of a ton of steam before launch. Not this time. They just launch them out there. You know, this is going to trip you guys out. All the similarities in the Lost Book of Enki we were reading, there was all these references to, you know, I was like, God damn, these Anunnaki must be Klingons, you know, because they talked about flying around in their bird of prey sounding airplane, and they just sounded like Klingons, you know, going around, oh, tick-tock, tick-sha, you know, get my dick wet, something like that. And I saw this article from the Daily Mail, and I was like, that's just odd. Has somebody been listening to my broadcast? I mean, what's happening here? This one just hit a little too close to home for me. Maybe you guys will trip out on this one as well. Did Jesus die for Klingons too, huh? Christianity would struggle with proof of alien life, professor tells Space Conference. A Christian professor has told a U.S. government-backed conference on space travel that the discovery of aliens would lead to significant problems for his own religion. In a speech entitled, Did Jesus Die for Klingons Too?, German academic Christian Weidermann outlined the possible ramifications that the ultimate space discovery would engender. I mean, so we're at that point where we have to start discussing, you know, whether or not extraterrestrials or Klingons, as they refer to them here, would be, you know, Jesus died for their sins too or not? Well, the Pope already said that, you know, it's okay to believe in aliens because aliens are of God, and that's fine. But here he wants to know if Jeebus died for the sins of Klingons too. That's a question I've often laid at night asleep wondering many nights, you know. Fuck knowing about the CMP or Jesuits or the Anunnaki. No, what I really want to know is, did Jeebus die on the cross for Klingons? That's my burning question. Who the fuck writes this stuff? But you see, I mean, this tells you right here that they're bringing this question up. That means that if intelligent life exists on other planets, then Jesus or God would have to have visited them too and sacrificed himself equally for Martian kind as well as mankind. The alternative, posits Weideman, is that Jesus chose Earthlings as the single race to save and abandoned every other life form in the galaxy. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like something they really want you to believe right there. Well, everybody else out there in the galaxy is fucked because they didn't get blessed by Jeebus and we did. Fuck them, I don't care anyway. Goddamn heretics. Probably hanging out with the Amalekiters anyway, shit. Or it could have been because humans were the only